Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Super Talk 99.7.
Good afternoon to you. 12:06 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. We are on presidential podium watch. Will the president sign the omnibus spending bill or will he not? $1.3 trillion. And while we do that, I want to check in with David Zanotti, co-host of the Public Square, heard on over 200 radio stations across America, including WTN. And David, we are going to carry the president's speech or his announcement, whatever it is going to be here in the next few minutes live. But while we wait for the president, let's talk about what is in this omnibus spending bill. We are talking about $1.3 trillion. We are getting mixed signals from various sources. Some say the president will veto this. Others say he is going to actually sign it. Do you have any predictions as to, one, what the president is going to do? And then, two, I'm going to ask you what your thoughts are about the $1.3 trillion spending bill.
Well, it's all politics, Dan. At this stage in the game, the Democrats don't want to get stuck being obstructionist and shutting the government down again because they're into their 2018 electoral plan, and that doesn't fit. They know it'll blow up on them. Secondly, who the heck knows what's in that bill? It's 2.5 feet tall.
Yeah.
I'll guarantee you there's plenty of trapdoors and tricks, however, in it, and we won't know for weeks yet ahead what it actually looks like. So I think it is a possibility the president's going to veto it. I don't know what the percentages of that are, but the understory to all of that, of course, is what happened Sunday night. Everything that's happening right now in politics, including what we're waiting on, the president's about to go in front of the press. Why on earth would he go to a live microphone with reporters in the room, given what 60 Minutes is about to drop on his head Sunday night in regards to Stormy Daniels? So this is right now. We got hurricane signs up, brother. It's going to be really stormy in Washington, D.C. for the next 48 hours.
You know, it is interesting you bring that up, David. And this is probably going to be somewhat of a meandering interview because there's a couple of different things that I wanted to talk to you about. And Stormy Daniels, of course, is one of them. But what is it? Could you possibly say that what the president is trying to do when he makes whatever announcement he's going to make in the next few minutes? Is it possible or could it be that what he's really doing is he's trying to present some sort of a news story to distract the media from the Stormy Daniels interview that's going to happen on Sunday?
We've got false flags here and we've got the tail wagging the dog. In all of those instances, we've got people manipulating what's in front of you, which is a 2.5 foot tall $1.3 trillion spending bill because of lots of other issues. Now, one, it could be Stormy Daniels to change the subject. Two, it would be a brilliant ploy to change the subject by simply saying, I'm vetoing the bill because it doesn't handle DACA. And then suddenly the shoe's on the other foot. And that puts the Democrats back in the position of saying, we don't deal with DACA. We're shutting the government down. I don't know if they can pull that off, but that's really sleight of hand and very clever. But then again, they might pull something else out of the hat as well. It might be that that's the ploy to get the border wall. Right now, everything is in play. And just because a bill is about to be signed, well, you don't know what's in it. We don't. This is a long way from being over, Dan. Long way from being over.
Oh, trust me, I know that. And one of the things that I find very interesting about the whole DACA thing, the whole DACA recipients and what to do with DACA and the Dreamers and all this, is the fact that the president did indeed turn the tables on the Democrats by offering the 1.8 million Dreamers a pathway to citizenship. If the president does sign this omnibus spending bill without the fact that there is nothing in there that's going to handle the Dreamers and the DACA recipients and the border wall and so forth, that only funds, 33 miles of the border, clearly the president and the Republicans and the conservatives, they rode this wave of wanting immigration laws enforced. If he signs this bill without any mention of DACA recipients, Dreamers, sufficient funding for the border, they're not going to hire the ICE agents like they wanted to. They're not going to hire the Border Patrol agents like they wanted to. Would you say that this would indeed then be a broken promise of the president?
That's hard to say because DACA doesn't officially expire for a bit more. And again, we don't know yet if the negotiations are final. Just because the budget doesn't get signed doesn't mean the budget issue is over. There's got to be a budget. Something has to be signed. So this might be stage one in the dance that will take two or three more stages.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see. And I know that we have all kinds of microphoned individuals and they're milling about the podium waiting for the president to come and announce exactly what it is that he's going to announce regarding the omnibus spending bill. I think one of the reasons why a lot of people are upset with this spending bill is because even though it is thousands of pages long and nobody really knows exactly what's in it, Rand Paul has said, listen, we can't vote on something that we haven't even read. So part of the problem here is with the process, obviously, right, David?
Of course. And that's always the case, Dan. And, you know, when people listen and start talking about it's the process and they go through that routine, let me just help define something for folks. That's half the answer. Their solution is no answer at all, because the real solution to stop this process is to quit doing an annual budget for the federal government and go to a two-year budget. We've been saying this for over 20 years. That's the fundamental flaw in the process. No company in America that's as large, it's one-third as large, one-tenth as large as the federal government, does an annual budget. They go 2 years because it's just too much work.
Yeah.
You need 24 months. We should certainly, and here's the other thing, if we move to a 24-month budget, each Congress would only get one bite at the apple instead of two. Each House would have one shot. So put your best shot forward, get your homework done, and let's get on with it. But see, they don't want to do that because by doing it every year, they can keep jerking us around and playing games with the money.
Well, and the thing that is really frustrating, David, of course, as you know, is that every few months, it seems like we go through this whole drama of the government possibly shutting down. And Washington seems to be in this perpetual state of emergency as it relates to the budget. So I think that there is a lot that we're going to find out here in the next few minutes with President Trump on what exactly it is that he's going to do regarding this omnibus spending bill. A couple of things that we know are not in this. Again, anything that deals with the Dreamers, also border security, and also nothing that will keep spending in check. At this point, David, are we just, our government is so incredibly addicted to spending money. Are we just at the point now where having any kind of responsible spending is just a laughable concept?
Well, our Congress is basically the addicted agency. And the Congress is the addicted agency for two reasons. One is you've got members of the House who don't have the courage to say shut it down for as long as it takes to bring it back to a balanced perspective. Nobody's got that much courage because they're afraid of the media. And then secondly, you've got Senate Rule 22 sitting over there in the Senate, where the endless game of the Senate boycotting, if you will, passing legislation because of the filibuster. So you've got these issues where the process is gummed up by politicians who play every issue, including the budget, to political advantage. So, yes, Congress is so broken that we cannot get out of this mess until we get enough people in Congress that have the courage to go to war with the Congress. The battle's inside the Congress. It's inside the House. It's inside the Senate. And we keep sending people up there, and they don't realize where the battle is.
1214 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN, and David Zanotti joins us, co-host of the Public Square, also our political analyst here on WTN, waiting for President Trump to take to the podium to announce what he's going to do with the omnibus spending bill. We talked a little bit briefly before, David, about Stormy Daniels. We know that she is going to give this interview. She has given an interview now on 60 Minutes. It's going to air on Sunday. Do you think that the media and the left is way overplaying the importance of the Stormy Daniels interview, in the sense that we all know that when we all voted for President Trump, or when folks voted for President Trump, let me put it that way, when people voted for President Trump, they knew this guy wasn't a Boy Scout. It is perfectly plausible that he slept with Stormy Daniels, and also this Playboy playmate now coming out, Karen McDougal as well. All of this makes complete and perfect sense, and I just don't know if anybody really cares.
Well, that, I think, Dan, is an appropriate analysis in regards to what Donald Trump did as a private citizen 10 years ago or 12 years ago or 20 years ago. And I heard Michael set up earlier coming into this hour, and I thought that was outstanding as well. You guys are asking the right questions. But what will the question really be? Will it be the lack of shock value that the Playboy billionaire acted like a Playboy billionaire?
Yes. Where's
the news flash in that one? But that's not the issue. The issue is he lying right now?
Right.
That's different. See, it's one thing when the Playboy... Now, by the way, I'm not accepting what the Playboy billionaire did as moral, ethical, or right. That's a completely separate issue about a private citizen. And to be quite honest with you, it's none of my business. what he did 10, 12, 14 years ago. That's between him and God and him and his wife and his family and those people. That's not my business any more than it is any other person. It's not my business. But when the president of the United States, who's a constitutional officer of our civil government, is telling a bold-faced lie to everybody, now that's another question, if in fact he is. We don't know that yet, but that's the issue.
Yeah, now here's what's interesting, David, is we all know that a quote-unquote lie can be interpreted many different ways. I can't find any place, and maybe you have found it, where President Trump himself, via Twitter or whatever it is, that he actually has denied sleeping with Stormy Daniels and having this affair. And I haven't seen anything regarding Karen McDougal either, although I believe the White House itself and Sarah Huckabee Sanders came out and also said, she said, well, the president denies there is any kind of an affair. But as far as I know, David, we have not heard the president himself say, I deny having an affair with Stormy Daniels.
And the question then becomes, what's the definition of an affair?
Right.
Here we go again. How quick will we devolve to what the definition of is?
Yeah, you're right. And yeah, it was only, and by the way, it was, Pamela's reminding me, it was only a statement that the president and his administration came out with regarding Stormy Daniels and all of these various allegations. Now, here's the question I would have, David, then, is this. You just said, well, it's none of your business, it's none of my business, and nobody's business as to whether or not the president had an affair 12 years ago. If this is, well, it has come up now, is the president obligated to tell the truth? I mean, I guess he is, but it's sort of like, well, if it's none of my business, is the president justified in saying, look, that's between me and my wife, and it's nobody's business but mine? And, of course, what? Stormy Daniels, but she is, you know, it's her business as to whether or not she tells of her experiences.
Dan, that shouldn't be a tough question to answer, because I think that it's better for all of humanity to always tell the truth at all times. I just think it's easier. It's better no matter how painful it is. And since none of us, absolutely none of us, has lived a perfect life, and not one of us has things that we are not ashamed of, he just tells the truth. Now, the problem we've got is he could equally go a different direction and simply deny her version of the story without ever telling his.
Right.
Will he try that side saddle approach, basically saying, you know, what she's telling you isn't true. Well, what is true? Well, what is true is none of your business, because that was between two consenting adults. And what I did or what I didn't do, I choose not to comment on, because I don't play kiss and tell. She's a professional in the sex industry. She makes money from this.
Right.
And so that's what she does. I'm not going to play that game. And it's a closed subject. Problem is, that's not where he started in the conversation.
No, that is absolute truth. David DeZanotti joins us. Now, we are just finding out that the president is going to make a statement. However, it looks like he's not going to take any questions. So we'll have to see what the president has to say. Again, there's a lot of activity around the particular podium that the president is going to speak into, and the microphone here in the next couple of minutes announcing what he's going to do with the omnibus spending bill. Very quickly, David, I believe we're running out of time. Tell me your quick thoughts on Joe Biden and how he keeps talking about how he would have beat up the president if he'd known way back when what the president said during that Access Hollywood tape. What are your thoughts on what Joe Biden is doing? And let's, you know, forget about the thought that it's hypocritical and that, you know, clearly this is something where you have somebody who is an icon on the left that is, you know, I don't know if it's tongue in cheek or not, but threatening violence against a sitting U.S. president. Put all that aside, it seems to me like Joe Biden is really setting up a run for president in 2020. Your thoughts?
Well, I think Joe is, and I think, as you and I talked earlier today, I think John Kasich's in the game. We're going to have to come back to this maybe next week and get into this as this unfolds, particularly after what happens on 60 Minutes, but sure they are. Right now, Donald Trump looks as vulnerable as he's ever looked, and they're all guessing right now that this might be the high point of his administration, maybe today. Some people are actually sitting in Washington, D.C. saying, that's what's about to happen, because after Sunday night, nothing will ever be the same. Now, we don't know if that's true, but I do know there's people in Washington, D.C. right now asking that question.
Well, and what's interesting, too, is the fact that you have a president who, and you're saying some people are saying that this might be either high point, low point, whatever it is. But when you look at the fact that most people, when they voted for the president, this is somebody who, again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, he's no Boy Scout, and we all know that. But do you think that this would be something that would affect the midterm elections?
It will definitely affect the midterm elections because, Dan, if they have got the goods on the Stormy Daniels story, they will make sure that they roll it out in sequential order so that it crests or it peaks, if you will, at the high point of voter interest in the 2018 congressional races for the House and the Senate. That's the story that they want. They want to nationalize the race. They want a referendum on Trump. And if they can make it a referendum on a lying president, then they will, in essence, do to Donald Trump what the Republicans did to Bill Clinton. And let's not forget this. Sure, Clinton stayed in office, but in 94, Gingrich and the Republicans took back over the House for the first time in a generation. So this is how these things can be nationalized, and that's what the Democrats are working on right now. They're weaponizing everything for the purpose of the 18 election. The 18 election becomes the momentum for 20, and people are lining up right now thinking, you know, we're going to have a shot to take this guy out.
David, what's coming up Sunday on the public square?
Sunday on the public square, Dan, we're going to actually continue the conversation we had on your program the other day, which is the secret behind the secret. The fact is that everyone's looking at the White House, but the Democrats, George Soros, and the progressives are looking at the Congress through things like gerrymandering, redistricting, and the census. And we start unfolding that on the public square this Sunday.
All right, David Zanotti, I always appreciate your help.
Thanks, Dan.
You have a great weekend. 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. And if you're listening on the stream, congratulations. Apparently, you are the only ones that are listening to this broadcast. I guess I don't even know what to do. We're off the air, but a lot of people, as we know, not that we get credit for, but a lot of people are listening on the stream. So, but yeah, we're off the air. Somebody let me know when we're back on, but.
Are you able to take a commercial? I guess you don't take a commercial break when you're off.
I can't take a commercial break because.
Because you wouldn't get credit for the commercials. Right. So.
Anyway.
Well the great thing. How's it going?
Hey, man, it's going great. How are you?
How's life?
Let's talk about Star Wars.
Let's talk about Star Wars.
Well, no, I mean, Siri, you do have a lot of people listening, streaming.
I have to be honest with you,
I'm really surprised the president said that he was going to veto this, and then now it looks like he's going to sign it. He's there. The actual bill is sitting on this desk. I don't know if you've seen the visuals yet.
Oh, my Lord.
But it's like 2 feet tall. This bill looks very tall.
It does. And then, as David was saying, you know, listen, nobody has read this actual bill in the Senate and the House of Representatives. They haven't read it. President Trump hasn't even read the damn thing.
Rand Paul tried and only got through 600 pages before they had to vote.
Well, and here's the other problem. And I love Rand Paul. I really do. One of the things that has been an issue is, of course, the fact that you have this bill that was being written and it was behind closed doors. So folks like Rand Paul, he wasn't even allowed to be part of the process of writing the bill because what he was trying to do was kind of get a sneak peek as to what was in this thing so that he would know how to vote for the bill. Yeah. And so, you know, shame on the Senate, shame on the House of Representatives, shame on all these folks for doing what they did. I mean, who are they? Nancy Pelosi? Okay, we back on the air. We are back on the air. Great.
So you want to take a break now?
I'm going to have to take a break.
Take a deep breath and take a break.
Oh, it's
you
all
seem
good.
A little stunned.
I'm stunned that we're back on the air. Oh, for the love of Pete. Okay. Pamela, as you know.
Yes.
Tonight, there is an iconic rock band that is going to be playing at Bridgestone Arena. The
Eagles.
Yes,
I do know this.
Are going to be playing tonight at Bridgestone Arena. And I happen to have two tickets to give away to caller number 5 right now at 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. If you want to go to the Eagles concert tonight, pair of tickets, caller number 5 right now. And we are waiting President Trump and his announcement as to what he's going to be doing with the omnibus spending bill. That's straight ahead on WTN. Listen, it is 2018. If you are tired of the tingling in your arms and legs and the suffering from the back pain and bulging and herniated discs, all of the problems associated with chronic back pain can be taken care of with one phone call, my friends, 615-246-5009, that'll get you to the Wellness Institute of Nashville and Dr. Kevin Mitchell and start feeling better than you have in years.
And
now,
by the way,
I know, let's pot up the president.
We have a lot of good news to report. Some tremendous trade deals are being made with various countries. We're negotiating very long, very hard, but very quickly. And the deal with South Korea is, according to Secretary Ross and Bob Lighthizer, is very close to being finished. And we're going to have a wonderful deal with a wonderful ally. We're getting very close to it. It was a deal that was causing a lot of problems for our country in terms of employment and in terms of lots of other things. I might ask Secretary Ross to just say a few words about that, and then we're going to get on to this ridiculous situation that took place over the last week. So, Secretary Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. We believe we are relatively close to a pretty comprehensive resolution with the South Korean government. It would encompass, if it goes through, both the 232s and broader trade issues. And we hope by sometime next week to be able to have a real announcement.
Thank you very much, Wilbur. I appreciate it. The last time we negotiated something like this, and as you know, it's always been a problem for our country, they get together and they create a series of documents that nobody's been able to read because it was just done. Now, you tell me who can read that quickly. It takes a long time to read it. For the last 8 years, deep defense cuts have undermined our national security. How old are, and they just, if you look at what's taken out, they've hallowed our readiness as a military unit and put America at really grave risk. My highest duty is to keep America safe. Nothing more important. The omnibus bill reverses this dangerous defense. As crazy as it's been, as difficult as it's been, as much opposition to the military as we've had from the Democrats, and it has been tremendous. I try to explain to them, you know, the military is for Republicans and Democrats and everybody else. It's for everybody. But we have tremendous opposition to creating really what will be by far the strongest military that we've ever had. We've had that from the Democrats. So if we take something for the military, they want something for, in many cases, things that are really a wasted sum of money. And it's not right, and it's very bad for our country. We're looking to do funding for our final fight in certain areas. As you know, we've gotten just about 100% of our land back from ISIS. We have troop increases necessary to accomplish what we have to do, and we have, very importantly, a pay increase for our troops. And this will be actually the largest pay increase for our incredible people in over a decade. It increases total defense spending by more than $60 billion from last year and funds the addition of critically needed ships, planes, helicopters, tanks, and submarines. We have submarines being built, the likes of which there's nothing anywhere in the world like the submarines we build. Our military equipment is the best equipment in the world. And one of the things you saw 2 days ago with Saudi Arabia and with other countries, Saudi Arabia, as an example, is buying hundreds of billions of dollars worth of our equipment. And we're getting very fast approvals on that. Therefore, as a matter of national security, I've signed this omnibus budget bill. There are a lot of things that I'm unhappy about in this bill. There are a lot of things that we shouldn't have had in this bill, but we were, in a sense, forced, if we want to build our military, we were forced to have. There are some things that we should have in the bill. But I say to Congress, I will never sign another bill like this again. I'm not going to do it again. Nobody read it. It's only hours old. Some people don't even know what it is. $1.3 trillion. It's the second largest ever. President Obama signed one that was actually larger, which I'm sure he wasn't too happy with either. But in this case, it became so big because we need to take care of our military. And because the Democrats, who don't believe in that, added things that they wanted in order to get their votes. We have to get rid of the filibuster rule. We have to get rid of the filibuster rule and go to 51 votes in the Senate if we're going to have really sustained, continued success. DACA recipients have been treated extremely badly by the Democrats. We wanted to include DACA. We wanted to have them in this bill. 800,000 people. And actually, it could even be more. And we wanted to include DACA in this bill. The Democrats would not do it. They would not do it. To prevent the omnibus situation from ever happening again, I'm calling on Congress to give me a line item veto for all government spending bills, and the Senate must end. They must end the filibuster rule and get down to work. We have to get a lot of great legislation approved, and without the filibuster rule, it'll happen just like magic. I want to address the situation on border security, which I call national defense. I call it stopping drugs from pouring across our border. And I call it illegal immigration. It's all of those things. But national defense is a very important two words, because by having a strong border system, including a wall, we are in a position militarily that is very advantageous. And before I get off of that subject, I'd like to ask Secretary Mattis to talk about what we've accomplished in terms of the military, because there has never been anything like we've been able to do. Our military is very depleted, but it's rapidly getting better. And in a short period of time, it will be stronger than it has ever been. So I'd like to ask Secretary Mattis to say a few words, please. Secretary.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen, in 1790, in George Washington's first annual address to Congress, he stated, "To be prepared for war is one of the most effective means of preserving the peace." As the President noted, today we receive the largest military budget in history, reversing many years of decline and unpredictable funding. And together, we are going to make our military stronger than ever. We in the military are humbled and grateful to the American people for their sacrifices on behalf of this funding. Now it's our responsibility in the military to spend every dollar wisely in order to keep the trust and the confidence of the American people and the Congress. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, General. The border we've worked very hard on. We have a lot of, really by any standard a lot, but not by this standard, but we're going to make it go a long way. We have a lot of money coming to the border, and it will be coming over a period of time. We funded the initial down payment of $1.6 billion. We're going to be starting work literally on Monday on not only some new wall, not enough, but we're working on that very quickly, but also fixing existing walls and existing acceptable fences. There are some areas that you have to see through. You have to be able to see through the other side in order to see what's coming. And in many cases, it's not a pretty picture when you look, but you have to be able to see it. So we have $1.6 billion for the wall. That'll start immediately. This is a short-term funding, but it's immediate. Starts immediately, and I'd like to ask Secretary Nielsen to say a few words about what we've done in terms of Homeland Security and what the bill does for Homeland Security. Thank you.
Good afternoon. We at the Department of Homeland Security work very closely with the Department of Defense, and we support this omnibus in the defense of our country. As the President has stated, under his leadership, he has delivered for the American people. This is a down payment on a border wall system. This is a 10% increase for Immigration and Customs Enforcement. This will help us improve our aviation security with some badly needed upgrades, and we look forward to working with Congress on additional needs that we have. I will say, however, that it's unfortunate that Congress chose not to listen to the men and women of DHS and those on the front lines. They told us how to build the wall, where to build the wall, and we will continue to work with them to make sure that the wall is where we need it, how we need it, as the President described, and to make sure that it serves the American people and serves the security of this nation. We also will continue to work with Congress to close the dangerous loopholes that the President has mentioned many times, and to continue to increase our overall security. And finally, we thank those in Congress who support the Department of Homeland Security. I will continue to make myself available to them. I look forward to working with them, but we must fund the department and give it the tools and resources it needs to execute the mission the American people have asked us to do. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Secretary. So we have many elements in the bill that we wanted. Just to look at a few of them, we're providing $654.6 billion in total discretionary funding for defense. It's a record, all records for defense. There will be nobody that says that our military is going to be depleted, like they've been saying over the last long period of time, frankly, beyond President Obama. That won't be happening. We're spending a lot of money on nuclear, our nuclear systems, to upgrade, and in some cases, brand new, whether it's submarines, nuclear submarines, and others. So we'll have by far the most powerful nuclear force on Earth, and it'll be absolutely in perfect shape and condition, and hopefully, praise be to God, we don't ever have to use it. But there will be nobody that's even close. This will give a substantial increase to people even outside of the military, but military-related. Some of the many things that we're buying in the military, we have 20 $3.8 billion to procure 34 Navy ships. Our Navy is at about the lowest point in terms of ships that it's been in over 100 years. And we're adding a significant number of extremely advanced vessels. $10.2 billion for 90 F-35 aircraft. That's the most sophisticated aircraft in the world, jet fighters, total stealth. They're hard to find. They're hard to see. Therefore, they're hard to beat. It's very tough to beat a plane when you can't see it. This is the most advanced in the world. $10.2 billion for 90 F-35. We have $2.9 billion for 15 KC-46 tanker aircraft. The tanker aircraft is very important. Based on everything, it allows our planes to travel anywhere in the world without landing. $1.8 billion for 24 FA-18EF Super Hornet aircraft fighter jets. $1.7 billion for 10 PA, the Poseidons. Incredible stuff. $1.1 billion for 56 UH-60 Black Hawk helicopters, most advanced helicopter in the world by far, fighting machine. $1.1 billion for the upgrade of 85 Abrams tanks. $705 million for the cooperative programs that we're working with Israel and others on various missile defense systems. We're spending a lot of money on missile defense. We have a lot of offense that's been recently installed. We're spending tremendous money on missile defense. You understand what that means. Everybody does. With what we have out there, missile defense is very, very important. We are funding our Border Patrol agents and our ICE agents. They are working long hours under tremendously dangerous conditions. We're adding large numbers of immigration judges, high-quality judges. Not only are we adding them in the district court level and the federal level of Court of Appeals, but we're adding immigration judges at a very high level. So while we're very disappointed in the $1.3 trillion, nobody more disappointed than me because the number is so large, it'll start coming down. We had no choice but to fund our military because we have to have by far the strongest military in the world. And this will be by far the strongest military that we've ever had. So when you look at all of these pages, a lot of that is devoted, a lot, to the military. I just want to thank members of Congress for working so hard. While we can be disappointed in some ways, we have to also know that there are a lot of strings pulling everybody in different directions. The Republican senators, the Republican congressmen and women have been steadfast on their fight for the border and steadfast for their fight on the military. We're also spending $6 billion on, as you know, various forms of drug control, helping people that are addicted. It's a terrible problem, but this will be a record. We'll be suing certain drug companies for what they've done with the opioids, and we'll be bringing the suits at a federal level. The level of drugs that are being put out there and the power of this addiction is hard to believe. People go to the hospital for a period of a week and they come out, they're drug addicts. There has to be a better way. Doctors are way down now in their orders of the opioids, way down. That's a great thing. We're also looking for, in our research funds, we're looking for a medicine that can stop the pain without the addiction so that people aren't going to become addicted to these incredible drugs. So that's part of what we have. We're going to have $6 billion in having to do with opioids and other problems that this country and, in fact, the world is having with drugs. So we're extremely proud of what we've been able to do when it comes to our military. Our military will be far superior than to any military anywhere in the world. That's very important for us. You see the players out there. You see what we're dealing with. We are very happy with what's happened with opioids. We're very happy with what's happened with certain elements of the border. Not happy with $1.6 billion, but it does start the wall, and we will make that $1.6 billion go very, very far. It's going to go very far. I can tell you this, and I say this to DACA recipients, that the Republicans are with you. They want to get your situation taken care of. The Democrats fought us. They just fought every single inch of the way. They did not want DACA in this bill. And as you know, DACA is also tied to the wall for the major funding, the $25 billion for wall and other things. So I think that'll be coming up very soon. But I do want the Hispanic community to know and DACA recipients to know that Republicans are much more on your side than the Democrats who are using you for their own purposes. With that being said, I just want to thank everybody for being here. We're very proud of many of the items that we've been able to get. We're very disappointed that in order to fund the military, we had to give up things where we consider in many cases them to be bad or them to be a waste of money. But that's the way, unfortunately, right now the system works. But we have a great country. We are going to have the greatest military we've ever had. And lots of good things are happening. The trade situation we'll be talking about next week. We have many trade deals, not only the deal being made on South Korea, which looks like it's very close to being finalized, but many other countries are now negotiating fair trade deals with us. So we'll be rolling them out as you see them. And part of the reason, frankly, that we're able to do that is the fact that we have the tariffs on steel and the tariffs on aluminum, because it showed how unfair some of these trade deals that have been in existence for many years, how unfair they've been. So it'll be great for our country, and frankly, it'll also be great for other countries. And it will be fair, and it will be reciprocal. Thank you all very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mr. President, thank you. And
that is... Wait, hold on.
We're going to figure it out. You're going to figure that out. We looked at a veto. I looked very seriously at the veto. I was thinking about doing the veto, but because of the incredible gains that we've been able to make for the military, that overrode any of our thinking.
How concerned are you about the impact of the tariffs on the stock market?
Well, I think the stock market's going to be great. I mean, look, the stock market's way up. When I came into office, the stock market was from a different planet. It's way up. China is going to end up treating us fairly. For many years, they had free rein. They don't have free rein anymore. We're very friendly with China. We have great relationships with China. And look, it's time. It's time. Last year, we lost $500 billion on trade with China. We can't let that happen. Thank you all very much.
And that is now President Trump finally leaving the podium and leaving the room where he announced that he will indeed be signing the omnibus spending bill. It's interesting. It's like he loved it and he hated it at the same time.
Yeah.
He sure threw the Democrats under the bus, though, didn't he?
He did.
As, by the way, in my opinion, he should. But here's what's...
What I like that he said, I apologize, yeah, but sure. What I like that he said was that the Democrats did not want DACA in this plan. They are using you. My message to Hispanics, they are using you.
Right.
I thought that was pretty powerful.
Well, absolutely. And that is the sound bite that I'm sure that you're going to be hearing all over the place, except probably on CNN or MSNBC. You won't be hearing that at all. But, you know, it is interesting because one of the things that I said yesterday, very quickly, because good Lord, are we late, but it is breaking news. But one of the things that I said yesterday is the fact that if this does pass, which, of course, now we know that it has, what they're going to say and what the president will say and others is that it was all about national security. It's all about rebuilding the military and so forth. And they're going to sort of hide behind the shield of rebuilding the military. And that gives them an excuse not to fulfill the promise of taking care of border security. Now, the president did say that he's got $1.6 billion for the wall. He says that it is a down payment. And he's trying to, what I would say, he was clear in the sense that he didn't like the fact that the process was so ridiculous and that nobody has really read what is in this 2,000-plus omnibus spending bill. But clearly, at least for me and a guy who one of my biggest issues during the election and during the whole process and the campaign was I wanted a wall. I wanted our immigration laws enforced. And I just don't see that right now, at least in the current bill. And so we'll have to see what happens because the president says the fight over the Dreamers and the fight over border security is far from over. So we'll have to see what happens. There is a lot to talk about, and we will in the next couple of hours. It is 12:50 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It's coming up on 1 o'clock on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Mandis Show coming up next. Well, we've got some more to talk about regarding the budget and an update on illegal immigration and a whole lot more. You're not going to believe what's happening in California. It's all straight ahead on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.